You're listening to the Ref Recap Podcast on 960theref.com. Here are your hosts, Sam Franco and Ryan Goldstein.
Oh yeah, welcome into another exciting edition of the Ref Recap Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Sam Franco and Ryan Goldstein along with you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a heavy March Madness edition of the podcast today, which is why we are using March Madness by Future to come into this episode of the podcast. And the brackets are out. People are getting ready to put them up on their wall and see if they can win a little scratch. And that's exactly why we watch, right? Well, other than the basketball itself, but it's going to be a great tournament. It always is a great tournament. And I, for one, am very much looking forward to it. Good to be joined by you, Ryan. And what's going on with you, bud?
Sam, it's good to be with you. It's March Madness is upon us, and the NCAA tournament is finally here. This, to me, is one of the three greatest weeks of sports. I'm counting the opening weekend of college football as a week because it now seems like it's become that. The week of Thanksgiving when there's basketball, football, college football is great. And then this week with the 4 days that are coming up, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all the different games. I mean, I can just sit on my couch all day. Unfortunately, I can't do that because I'm working, but I could sit on my couch for 12 hours and just watch basketball nonstop.
Well, I'm with you. It's a great time of the year for sports, no question. And this tournament is certainly interesting when you look at the different regions this year. Just on the surface, the South region looks the toughest. I mean, you've got North Carolina, the number one seed. Many people say that when they're playing their best, they're the best team in the country. You look at Kentucky as a 2 seed. UCLA as a 3 seed, and Butler as a 4 seed. Butler beat Villanova, the number one overall seed in the tournament, twice this year.
Yeah, and it seems like Butler is a team that not many people are talking about because you have those blue bloods in North Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA as the top 3 seeds. Because it seems like for being a 4 seed, Butler is pretty underrated, and not many people are talking about them really advancing far at all.
No, they're not. So that whole South region, definitely tough. I mean, even going into Middle Tennessee State as a 12 seed, taking on Minnesota, the 5. Middle Tennessee went 30-4 this year, and they're a team that a lot of people are picking to be one of those popular 12-5 upsets. So plenty of interesting games to go on in the South. Now moving up to the Midwest with Kansas as the number one overall seed, Louisville the 2, Oregon the 3, and Oregon at 29-5 has had a really good season. Purdue, the 4 there, you know, people also like to pick upsets. I think that Vermont has a very good chance to beat Purdue.
Yeah, well, Purdue's had early exits the last couple of years, and they have one of the best players in the country, Caleb Swanigan. And you and I have talked about this. I mean, there's so few recognizable players in college basketball. He could be one of the best, but I don't think many people know about him, especially if you're just an average college basketball fan. But you're right, a lot of people seem to like the Catamounts in this game to beat Purdue. And then some people even like the Wolfpack when they play Iowa State in the game above them. And the 12-5 matchup. And those 12-5s are always the tricky ones. Not tricky, but everybody wants to pick the 12. You think those are the easy upsets, and most of the time they are. But then it's almost like the trendier upset picks seem to be the ones that happen less.
Absolutely. And it's just it always seems to be that people find someone they like, and everybody pretends to be an expert on college basketball when the bracket rolls around. And I'm throwing you and I into that because, look, I think in terms of personalities at 960 The Ref, you know, I think you and I might be more up on basketball than anyone else, but that doesn't mean that we're experts on the subject. So
not at all.
It's just always kind of funny that everybody gets super like smart, so to speak, when the NCAA tournament rolls around. Moving on to the East, where Villanova is the top seed, you've got Duke as the 2 in that one, and the 3 is Baylor, the 4 is Florida. You know, one of the upsets that I have out of this one, I think UNC Wilmington's going to beat Virginia in that 12-5 matchup just because Wilmington's another one of these teams that likes to shoot the ball a lot. And Virginia's a team that wants to beat you like 55-51 and just grind the game out. So Virginia's a team that can get caught if the other team is shooting well.
Oh, for sure. And Kevin Keats is the coach of UNC Wilmington, and he's somebody that's one of these mid-major coaches that looks like if UNC Wilmington can make a run, he'll have a bigger job, whether it's LSU, whether it's Missouri, one of these big-time jobs that's opened up, Illinois maybe. So he's a name to watch out for over the next coming weeks, as you'll hear about the hot coaches who all of a sudden win a couple games in March and they become these big-time head coaches. And I think a lot of people also like East Tennessee State against Florida. That seems to be kind of a trendy upset pick in a 13-4 matchup. people feel like the Gators maybe haven't played so well as of late. They've lost to Vanderbilt a couple times in the last week, losing to them the last game of the regular season and losing to them in the SEC tournament. So East Tennessee State is a team to watch out for. But Duke, to me, out of that region, is kind of the team to look out for because they came in with so much talent when the season began. I think they were preseason number one overall team. But then injuries and different lineups have kind of hampered them, but now they seem to be back at full strength. And after winning the ACC tournament, could look to make a pretty deep run this March.
Yeah, and Duke is actually the favorite in Vegas to win this whole tournament. And I think that they, as much as anyone else, have a great chance to win it. You've got the pedigree. And I think a big issue with the NCAA tournament for a lot of teams can be the going home after like the first and second round, especially when you go into the Sweet 16. You go home and everybody's patting you on the back, congratulating you for making the Sweet 16, and you kind of get complacent a little bit. I think some of these good coaches, you look at a Duke, you look at North Carolina, you look at a Kentucky, and one of the things they all have in common is veteran coaches that seem to know how to get their players to kind of drown out all the noise. And that's why I think you see a lot of the Cinderellas, once they get to the Sweet 16, bow out at that point just because they're not used to being there.
Yeah, and if you look at the past champions, it always ends up being the Blue Bloods or the programs that have had some history in basketball. Well, we love a Cinderella story, and on Thursday and Friday, you want to see those upsets. It's great, but then you get to the second weekend, and you're like, okay, in the Sweet 16, I'm seeing a 10 seed. I'm seeing a 13 seed. And they're playing a 2 or 3 seed, and you're like, okay, well, this is not even a fair matchup. So while you want to see the Cinderella stories, you kind of feel like you want to have them. You know, if a VCU makes a run or Wichita State makes a run, Wichita State is a 10 seed, which is incredibly ridiculous that they're a 10 seed being that low. They got to play Dayton in round one, and then they play Kentucky in the second round. But if they somehow make a run, you don't feel like that's a Cinderella story because we've become to know them as a basketball school.
We'll jump down to the West now, which is the last one we haven't really kind of gone over here. And the number one seed there, Gonzaga, only one loss on the season. That loss was to BYU. Arizona, the number two seed there, a lot of people picking them. That's a trendy pick. The three seed is Florida State. They'll go up against Dunk City in the first round, Florida Gulf College. The four seed, West Virginia. And the five seed in this one's really interesting. Notre Dame, they got all the way to the ACC championship game, losing to Duke. And I think this Notre Dame team could surprise some people with a run that they make.
And they're the only team that made the Elite Eight the last two seasons. So, I mean, they have the ability to get there.
Absolutely. And I think this Northwestern team, too, making their first NCAA tournament appearance in the 8-9 matchup against Vanderbilt down there, definitely one to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, it's exciting. Both teams are making history. Vanderbilt for having the most losses as an at-large team with 15, and then Northwestern, like you mentioned, making their first ever tournament appearance, which is just pretty unbelievable that a Power 5 school is now making their first tournament appearance in 2017. But good for Chris Collins and his staff getting them there. And you kind of see, it's like you mentioned with the Sweet 16. Are you just happy to be there, or are you there to win the game?
Yeah, and Dave asked me on an edition of the morning show earlier this week, what first-round matchup would I most want to go to? And I picked that 8-9 matchup between Northwestern and Vanderbilt because, again, it's Northwestern's first time. That environment in Salt Lake City, hopefully Northwestern fans travel, and I think they will just because there's a first time for everything. This is their first time playing in the tournament.
Yeah, I think Salt Lake City had one of the better sites. I mean, my dad and I used to go to the tournament every year, so I always kind of look at to see what games are in what sites. And Salt Lake City, I think, has some of the better ones with you have Gonzaga and then Northwestern Vanderbilt. And then the other side, you have St. Mary's and VCU to play the winner of Arizona. So you get to see some good teams there. So I think you're right. You're spot on with one of the first round games to go see. That would be one of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We'll look at each kind of region a little more in depth now. And I think I'm going to make us pick our at least preliminary final four teams from each because, you know, I'm sure we've all filled out brackets by now. And, you know, everybody thinks that they're an expert. But coming out of the South, I want to start there because it seems like it's the toughest. I would think that Kentucky would be the team that everybody's looking at, especially with their talent with De'Aaron Fox, with Malik Monk, with Bam Adebayo. You look at them and you think that would be a team to look at in terms of coming out of the South to go to the Final Four, but I like UCLA a lot, too. I think that Lonzo Ball is one of the best players, if not the best player in the country, and certainly has his team playing well. They've only have four losses, and somehow they're a three seed.
Yeah, I'm going with you and what you said initially. I like Kentucky. I've liked them for a while. I just there's so much talent, and I think the beauty of what John Calipari does, and you can like or dislike what who he is as a person or who he is as a coach, but he does a pretty remarkable job, I think, of feeding his players this narrative that, look, you're not really doing this that well, and they seem to buy into it, where for a coach that has, you know, is coaching a top 10 team year in and year out, they seem to buy into this fact that, like, we're kind of the underdog and we're not playing to the level that we should be at. I think he does a phenomenal job with that. And like you said, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, some of the really talented freshmen. It seems like with Kentucky, if they can play defense and really hone in on that side of the ball, then they can be in good shape. And it seemed in the SEC tournament that came about. So I like Kentucky coming out of the South.
Yeah, and I keep hearing a lot of people say, I think Jay Billis said it, I think some other guys said it, North Carolina's best might be better than anyone else's best, but they've been pretty inconsistent at times this season. That's why I'm going to go with UCLA here. I think UCLA comes out of the South. I think they beat Kentucky in the Sweet 16 and move on to take out North Carolina there in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. Jumping to the Midwest, it really does seem like this is Kansas's to lose. I don't really think that there's a big challenge for them. Like I said earlier, I do like Vermont to beat Purdue in that 13-4. I think Oregon will get pretty far. I picked Oregon to actually take out Louisville in the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite Eight. But outside of that, I just think it's going to be really hard for any of these teams to beat Kansas, who might be the most consistently solid team in the tournament.
Yeah, I never really like picking chalk. I always try to pick some team outside the box. But you're right. I think when you look at this region, Kansas, it's Kansas for the taking. The only thing that does scare me about Kansas, they lost their first-round game, granted without their star freshman Josh Jackson, to TCU in the Big 12 tournament. And Bill Self's team sometimes play inconsistently when it comes time to the tournament, but I'm with you. I like Kansas coming out of the Midwest.
Yeah, it's just really tough to see anybody else. If I did have to pick someone else, I would probably say – it's funny because I picked Oregon to beat Louisville, but I don't know. It would be one of those two teams, I think. It'd be either Oregon or Louisville. Oregon, kind of like UCLA's problem, I think, with their seeding. Like Oregon 29-5, UCLA 29-4, both are three seeds. I think they get that because the Pac-12 was just not a very good basketball conference this year.
Yeah, and I think that kind of shows what you're talking about with Arizona. You talked about them earlier as being a trendy pick. And granted, that's their brand name is probably bigger than Oregon. Obviously, UCLA has the brand name, but within the region that they're in, you kind of understand why they might be a three seed. And Oregon just lost one of the top players in Chris Boucher. They still have Dylan Brooks, who's a star. And the interesting about Oregon, and this will bode well for your bracket, I saw that each time they've been a top three seed in the tournament, they've made it to the Elite Eight. So it looks like you've picked well there.
All right. You got to love those statistics. So we both like Kansas out of the Midwest. Going to the East, Villanova is the defending champion, and they still have a very good basketball team, but I just don't see them coming out of there. Quite frankly, I still think they'll get to the Elite Eight, but I think Duke will knock them out and get to the Final Four. I really like this Duke team, and I don't really see anybody that's other than maybe a Villanova that could stop them on their path. I think South Carolina would be an interesting matchup for them in the second round, and then, you know, either a Baylor or an SMU, somebody like that, meeting them in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. But it just doesn't really look like anybody's going to be able to knock off Duke, at least until they get to the Elite Eight to take on Villanova. Honestly, that's a collision course. I don't see either of those teams slipping.
Yeah, I really wanted to take SMU in this region. I don't know why, but I was drawn to them. Used to be Larry Brown's team. Now Tim Jankovic took over in year one. They're 30-4. They lost three games in the non-conference. And the only thing is they're really thin. They're not a deep team. And I'm not an expert. I only saw this reading a little bit about them. But so it scares me to take a team that might only go six or seven deep, especially against a Duke team that has just so many scorers. Because Duke, the only thing I worry about with them is they don't seem to be able to guard a big man. That was kind of evident in the ACC semifinals when they played North Carolina. But they have so many different scorers, so I'm with you. I think Duke ends up making it. I hate picking Duke, though, because it's Duke.
Oh, yeah, nobody likes doing that.
But I'll take Duke as well out of the East.
I mean, Luke Kennard's having a hell of a season, 20.1 points per game. Jason Tatum with 16.9. Grayson Allen, 14.1. So this team can score, and they can shoot. I mean, Luke Kennard is almost at 45% from three this season. So that's going to be something to look out for with the Blue Devils. And last but not least, going to the West, Gonzaga's not coming out of this. I mean, they're 32-1, but they've never made the Final Four. And quite frankly, I don't see them getting super far. I've got Notre Dame beating them in the Elite Eight. Or no, excuse me, in the Sweet 16. I'm staring at my bracket here and getting all sorts of jumbled numbers. But I like Notre Dame to beat them, and I like Notre Dame to come out of the West and get to the Final Four. I mean, you look at the Irish this year, getting to the ACC Championship game. They've got some good players all shooting well. You've got four players on this roster. Four players that play a lot of minutes on this roster that are all shooting over 40% from three. You've got Bonzi Colson. You've got Rex Plufiger, I guess is how you say that. That just shows that we're not experts here. You've got Matt Farrell and Matt Ryan, a guy that's funny that his name's Matt Ryan. But you've got all those guys that are shooting well above 40% from three, and that bodes well in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, this is the one I struggle with the most because I either want to pick Gonzaga or Arizona. Arizona is my sister's college, and I always root for them. That's kind of like my adopted basketball team since Georgia has obviously had their struggles in basketball. But Arizona is just too trendy of a pick for me, and I think that this could be the year that Mark Few finally does make it to the Final Four. They have this guy, Nigel William-Goss, who was a transfer from Washington, who's one of their better guards, and they have this big foreigner, Przemek, who's a really good big man who's kind of fun to watch. So I'm going to take Gonzaga, and I think they make their first trip ever to the Final Four.
So my Final Four is Duke, Notre Dame, UCLA, and who is my last one? Oh, yeah, Kansas. Duh, because they're always seem to get there. It's just a matter of if they can get over the hump. And Bill Self does have the one title, but they wish he had a lot more. So who's your Final Four?
Mine's Duke, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Kentucky.
Okay, I like that. I like that as well. And kind of breaking down our Final Fours, I've got UCLA beating Kansas, and the big reason there is just Lonzo Ball. I think he's playing some of the best basketball in the country. I mean, he's averaging a little over 14.5 points per game, as well as 6 rebounds a game, almost 8 assists per game, almost 2 steals per game. I mean, he's just a complete package. And from the three-point line, he's shooting over 40%. UCLA, also a team that is doing very well shooting the three, having four players that consistently shoot threes over 40%. In fact, TJ Leaf is at 45% from three, and they really like to spread it out. They've got 6 players averaging double figures in points, and I think that's going to be a matchup nightmare for a lot of teams. So I've got UCLA making the championship game.
My championship picks are
and I've got Duke on the other side, and I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay, so my championship picks, I'm going to go with, I think Duke ends up beating Gonzaga for me, and then between Kansas and Kentucky, it's tough. I think I'm going to go with Kansas leadership and veteran experience over what Kentucky has, so I'm going to go with Kansas and Duke in the finals.
And on my other side, I've got Duke playing Notre Dame in a rematch of the ACC championship game, and I really just think Duke's going to be able to get them again because they've got just some really great veteran scorers as well as some young guys. And that's one thing Coach K's done a very good job of is kind of mixing the veterans with the one and dones, and I think that's a great formula for success, and I just think it's going to be too much Luke Kennard for Notre Dame to handle. So I've got Duke and UCLA, and you've got Duke and Kansas. And
I'm going to switch that. I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Okay. I like that. Switch it at last second there.
I've liked Kentucky for a while. I got to stick with them.
I like Kentucky a lot, too. I just think that in the end, I think they're going to get caught by I don't know. There's just something about a team that relies way too heavily on freshmen. And they do have a couple of guys that are upperclassmen, but I do think Malik Monk is – a lot of people don't put him in that best player in the country category, and I think he should be up there. I think you probably get distracted by De'Aaron Fox and Bam Adebayo as well. That's kind of the reason why Kentucky guys don't always win SEC Player of the Year because they have so many of them. You go back to that one year where Karl-Anthony Towns probably should have won it, but Bobby Portis won it instead just because you have guys that maybe take votes away or whatever. But I like Kentucky a lot. I just think that in the end, UCLA might be a better basketball team. So I've got UCLA, Duke. You've got Kentucky, Duke. Who do you have cutting down the nets?
John Calipari is going to get a second national title as he cuts down the nets in Glendale, Arizona.
I like this Kentucky team, and I really like that pick. I might have them if I didn't think UCLA was going to beat them. But I've got Duke. This just seems like one of those years where nobody really is a clear favorite. And for some reason, Duke seems to be the team that comes out on top when that happens.
Yeah, no, Duke is phenomenal. Look, this team, the talent they have exceeds so many of these others. I mean, that's why when we get to the tournament, while some of these teams may have struggled throughout the year like a Duke, there's so much talent compared to the other schools that they're playing against that if they can just gel at the right time, and you saw that in the ACC tournament, winning 4 games in 4 days the first time that had happened. So, look, I think the Duke pick is as good as any of them out there.
And Ryan said this before. I mean, it's probably the best 4 days in sports, the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament. We're not including the first four because, you know, that doesn't count in terms of this. But you just get to watch so many games, and they've done such a great job of giving you ways to watch these games with the different networks to get brought in and how you can stream every game on your computer. I mean, it really is one of the most user-friendly modes of taking in a collective championship, you know, tournament.
Oh, and the best part about it is with the four different networks now they have and the way they stagger the games, I mean, they really make it so that there's never a time you're watching without basketball. Because it used to be, it'd be like 4 games at noon, 4 games at 2, and then another set of 4 at 7, another set of 4 at 9, with maybe a little bit of stagger in between. But now it's pretty much seamless to where the last game ends in the first session in the afternoon, and then the first game of the night session somewhere else is starting. So there's really between, you know, 12:15 tomorrow or 12:15 Thursday and, you know, midnight Thursday and Friday nights, you're pretty much going basketball all day.
Absolutely, and who doesn't love that, right? I mean,
it's the best.
Great, great time of the year. So we will definitely look forward to watching these tournament games when they crank up. First one, Notre Dame and Princeton. So that'll be the first game you get to check out for the NCAA tournament. I want to spend the last little bit here on the Ref Recap podcast talking about LaVar Ball. And, you know, I picked his son Lonzo's team to make it to the championship game and lose to Duke. LaVar Ball has got to stop talking, man. Like, that guy is saying some really dumb stuff, you know, calling his son better than Steph Curry and putting a lot of pressure on him, saying that he wants all three of his sons to be a package shoe deal for $1 billion. And look, I get some of that stuff. You're just trying to pump up your kids, hype up your kids, and most parents should do that, although there's ways you can go about it. The really dumb thing he said is, as a guy who, when he played at UCLA, averaged 2.2 points per game, he said not only that he would beat Jordan, Michael Jordan, that is, in one-on-one, that he would dominate Michael Jordan in one-on-one in his prime. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, this guy's confidence is through the roof. I watched the SportsCenter special that Scoop Jackson did with them at their house, and he's got his own brand for his kids already. It's like Big Ballers or BBB, something with the three sons he has. And all three of his kids are already committed to UCLA, or the two ones that, you know, are still in high school are committed to UCLA. I don't really get his whole mantra and what he's about, because to me it's just so much added pressure to his sons that they probably already feel. But look, I guess it's like these crazy parents in other sports too, whether it's tennis or golf. It's just maybe in basketball we don't see it as often. But, yeah, I don't know. It's way too confident for me. I'm a lot more like, I'm going to fly under the radar and just try to do what I can do and let my actions speak for what I'm doing. But he seems to be taking the exact opposite approach and just talking, and hope that his kids can back it up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're putting a lot of pressure on your kids at this point. And we've seen this not necessarily work out very well over the years when you have some overbearing parents say these kind of things about their kids and try to, you know, maybe get involved in business they shouldn't be getting involved with. I mean, we saw it work out in a bad way here at UGA for Rodrigo Blankenship this year. So sometimes I think as a parent, you kind of need to support your kid, but don't jump out there and make it about yourself as well.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, he's already started his own brand. And I guess the thing is, some of the stuff he says isn't so ridiculous when you think about what he's actually doing, in the sense that he talked about if the school is going to make money off of his kids, not that he should be making money off of them, but that if the school is going to be making money off of them, why can't he? And it kind of gets you thinking about how ridiculous it is that these schools are making money off these college athletes. And that goes into a whole nother discussion about, are these employees, are they athletes? So he kind of brings up some of those questions, but in a really odd way.
Yeah, he does. And I think that there's many different ways of propping up and supporting your children, and doing it the way that he is doing it is, if anything, it seems more damaging, especially when you have two of your kids that are in high school and they haven't even, you know, gotten to the college level yet. I think both of them have committed to UCLA. And if I'm Steve Alford, I mean, this seems like it's going to be more of a headache than anything.
Yeah, well, I would imagine when Lonzo Ball was going through, I don't know, but he seems like he'd be the best of the three. I think the youngest brother might be better, but the middle brother seems like he could be the worst of the three. Again, the worst of the three is all relative. I mean, they're all basketball stars, but he could be, you know, but he could be the worst of the three. But you're right. It seems like you're kind of taking this package deal on, and you're getting way more than you bargained for initially.
Yeah, and I just think that, again, you cross into dangerous territory when you're, you know, writing checks with your mouth that your sons are going to have to cash.
For sure.
All right, that'll wrap things up on this edition of the Ref Recap Podcast. We'll come back next week where we'll be able to talk to you about the Sweet 16, which will be coming up. And we'll be able to also go back and tell you how wrong most of our picks were, because, come on, who are we kidding? They will mostly be wrong.
You're spot on there.
Yeah, that's right. Any parting shots there, Ryan?
This I truly mean. Enjoy these next 4 days. They're awesome. It doesn't get any better than this. So just sit on your couch. If you can get out of work, do it. It's well worth it, I tell you.
And that'll do it. That'll wrap things up for us here on this edition of the Ref Recap Podcast right here on 960theref.com. Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow along at 960theref on Twitter. I'm at Sam J. Franco. He's at TheRealRyeGuy19. And we do this pretty much every week. We may take a break every now and then, but we're only human. So make sure to check us out on 960theref.com, the new look, 960theref.com. And we'll be back next week as we continue on with our NCAA tournament talk right here on 960theref.com.